In a few moments, I'm going to be reading some scripture from the 31st chapter of the book of Proverbs. It is a tribute to women. But before I do so, I want to thank Melanie, wherever she's down here now, and those who help her for the wonderful way that they do our altar every Sunday morning. And this morning in particular, because several of the verses that I'm going to be reading are represented in something that she has placed on the altar. After the service, I would invite you to take a moment and just come up and look at it very carefully. Because sometimes God speaks to us not only through what we hear, but what we see. So take a moment just to come and stand and look and worship. And Melanie, thank you again so much. Thank you, Bill. Proverbs chapter 31. I'm going to begin with verse 10. And I'm going to read selected verses, and I will give you the verse number for each one. Verse 10. A woman of noble character, who can find? She is worth four more than rubies. Verse 13. She selects wool and flax and works with eager hands. Verse 14. She is like the merchant ships, bringing her food from afar. Verse 16. She considers a field and buys it, and out of her earnings she plants a vineyard. Verse 17. She sets about her work vigorously. Her arms are strong for her tasks. Verse 18. She sees that her trading is profitable and her lamp does not go out at night. Verse 20. She opens her arms to the poor and extends her hands to the needy. Verse 24. She makes linen garments and sells them, supplies the merchants with sashes. Verses 25, she is clothed with strength and dignity. She can laugh at the days to come. Verse 26, she speaks with wisdom and faithful instruction is on her tongue. Verse 30, charm is deceptive and beauty is fleeting, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Verse 31, give her the reward she has earned and let her works bring her praise at the city gate. It's the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. The pages of the Bible and of history are filled with the stories of the lives of many remarkable and notable women. Our whole story of the human race begins when God took a rib from Adam and created Eve, and she became the mother of humankind. God blessed Sarah Abraham's wife in her old age, and she gave birth to a son, Isaac, who was the father of the 12 men who became the leaders of the 12 tribes of Israel. Who could forget Ruth, the Moabitess, who came from a foreign country with her mother-in-law, Naomi, after her husband and Ruth's husband had passed away, married a man who was to become the ancestor of King David. And then, of course, there's Mary, the mother of Jesus, and Mary Magdalene, the woman saved by the blood of the Lamb that was the very first person to ever see the resurrected Christ. The list goes on and on. And then if you move to history, you can go to ancient Egypt and find that Cleopatra was a ruler. Go to England for the Queen Elizabeth and Queen Victoria. There was a woman by the name of Teresa of Avila. She was the founder of 7 monastic houses. Mother Teresa was the champion of the downtrodden. Famous, important people in the history of the world. The list goes on and on. And this morning, I want to take just a few minutes to honor, to remember, and to celebrate the lives of 7 of the most important women in my life. The first person that I want to mention to you is Nannie Moore Hayes. She was my maternal grandmother. Papa Hayes, her father, was a businessman. He owned a general store in Helena, and they lived a life of somewhat prominence. My grandfather was the son of the physician there in Helena, and he was a pharmacist. And my grandfather was 31 years old, and my grandmother was 14 when they got married. Can you imagine the furor that would cause today? To her credit, Mama went on and finished high school and did some college. But she gave her life to the care of her husband and to the raising of her family. I'm so deeply indebted to Mama. In the later years of their lives, after my mom and dad divorced and we moved in with them, things got a little tough. Times got a little hard. And so my grandmother raised most of the food that we ate. And I finally remember many trips that we made to the feed store there in Springville. We kept chickens and some other animals, and so we had to have feed. But you had to have a certain kind of feed, and it wasn't so much the feed that was in the bag, it was the bag that the feed was in. And so I grew up wearing shirts, homemade shirts, very pretty, beautiful homemade shirts that my grandmother made out of feed sacks. I'm so indebted this morning to Nannie Hayes. I want to tell you about Elizabeth Newbold. Elizabeth Newbold was a Presbyterian lady whose life God absolutely transformed. And in a day where women pretty much were kept in their place and certainly didn't become preachers, she became a lay speaker for Jesus Christ. God used her in powerful ways. For many years, she led a Bible study on Friday nights in the home of Dr. Bill Buck, one of the leading oral surgeons in the country, in which 150, 200 people attended, spread out all over his huge house just to hear Elizabeth teach the Bible. I had had an experience with Christ when I was young, but I wandered away, felt a call to preach, answered the call to preach, realized that I was still as empty as I'd ever been, and one night in a lay-led revival at the Methodist Church in Springville, Elizabeth preached on being born again, and this prodigal came home that night. I'm eternally grateful to Elizabeth Newbold. And then there was Dorothy Hammett, Height, Crawford, Holmes. I'll get them all in there. I called her Ma Squaw. She was my mother-in-law. In all of the history of mother-in-laws, I don't think anybody could have ever asked for a greater mother-in-law than Dot. Although, as with mother-in-laws in general, there are some ups and downs. The night or the afternoon that Brenda and I went out onto the screen porch of the home in Center Point where they lived and announced that she and I were getting married in 23 days, Dot said, "No!" in no uncertain terms. Well, I was 20 and Brenda was 20, and so Brenda smiled and she said, "Mom, I'm 20 years old and I don't have to have a cosigner. We're going to get married whether you embrace it or not. And besides that, Walter's mother has already agreed to sign for him, so I had to be 21. And so she reluctantly gave us permission and then loved me down over the years. And I never will forget one hot July afternoon, I was standing in the Jefferson Memorial Garden Cemetery in the Garden of the Last Supper, saying goodbye to my mother for the last time, summer of 1990. And she came up to me. She put her arm around me. And she said, "You still have a mother. And you will have one as long as I'm alive." And she paused. And then she said, "And then you'll have two in heaven." Strong was their faith. The next two I want to tell you about, I'm going to share as a unit. And they're my daughters, Lynn and Michelle. How grateful I am that God raised me up in a household of females. I mean, for most of those years, when the girls were growing up, we even had a female dog. I knew my place. Both of our daughters were born during a very special and particular time in our lives. I've got to tell you a funny story. When Brenda and I announced the date of our wedding, we had gotten engaged on the 29th day of February, leap day, in 1965, but we hadn't set a date, and then we set the date on the 27th of May and got married the 19th of June. And so this was back in the days of the Pony Express. You remember those days? You could put a 3-cent stamp on an envelope and put it in the mail, and they'd throw it in one of those bags and put it on the stagecoach, and it'd get across the country in 2 or 3 days. Well, my mother had a sister, an aunt, that I really could have included on this list. She didn't have any children, so I was like a son to Aunt Edna. But they were very close, and Mother wrote Aunt Edna a letter to tell her that Brenda and I were getting married. Now, she liked to think that she knew everything about my life. But somehow she had failed to hear or understand or remember that Brenda and I were dating. And so Mother wrote her this letter. And she has a lot of interesting things in it. And so it's a letter that has more than one page. And she gets down to the bottom of the letter, and she says, telling her that Brenda and I are getting married on the 19th of June. And the last words on the first page are these: Brenda is 2 months. My aunt lost it. I mean, she went into hysterics. It was the next day before she turned it over and read, "Younger than Walter." Four and a half years later, Lynn was born. I was in my first year at Asbury Seminary. We got up on a Sunday morning to go to church. Now, this is our first child. And Brenda's one of those that doesn't want to panic. She wants to do everything in its proper time. And she doesn't want to rush off to the hospital for a false alarm. And she doesn't want to rush off to the hospital until it's time. And so we got up and we were getting dressed to go to Wilmore First Methodist Church for worship that morning. And right after we got dressed, she looked at me. She said, "Well, it's time." I said, "Yeah, let's get in the car and go to church." She said, "I'm not talking about church." And so we went to the hospital and pulled into the emergency room. And they took her out and wheeled her up. And I parked the car and went in and took about 5 minutes maybe to do the paperwork. And I got upstairs and the nurse came looking for me and said, "You have a little girl." That's how close we cut it. We made some really good friends while we were at Asbury. One of our close friends and family was from Oregon. They were married at 7 o'clock in the evening in Oregon of the same day that Brenda and I were married at 7 o'clock in the evening in Alabama. So we'd been married 2 hours longer than they had. Their first little girl was born 2 hours before our first little girl was born. And Brenda and Diana were in the same room at the hospital. When we had our second little girls, Brenda Michelle was born in Ohio. I was pastoring church up there at the time in my senior year of seminary, and they were still living in Wilmore. And so their second little girl was born 2 hours after Michelle was born, but this time they weren't in the same hospital or the same room. But God blessed us with two wonderful, talented little girls that we had the privilege of watching grow up into the wonderful young women that they've become today. I don't guess either one of them learned a whole lot about life in the pastoral family, because Lynn, the older daughter, grew up and married a pastor, and they had a son who was a youth pastor. And as I told you last week, last Saturday morning, 5:15, my great-grandson Cash was born. And today, Allison and Jeremiah are celebrating their first Mother's Day as parents. I don't guess Michelle learned a whole lot either, because she ended up going to seminary. Same seminary where I went and got her degree, and children's ministries. But there's just something about your children. In some ways, you mothers have built a bond with your children that we fathers don't know anything about. In some ways, we fathers build bonds with our children that you mothers maybe don't quite understand. Lynn was a mama's girl, and Michelle was a daddy's girl. Michelle's a little boy I never had. She loves sports better than her daddy does. But where on earth would I be today without those two precious daughters? Now I want to tell you about the second most important lady in my life. Her name was Sarah Helen Hayes Cash. And so if you drop off the Sarah at the beginning and the Cash at the end, what do you have? You have Helen Hayes. Who was she? Well, for those of you who are old enough to remember, she was a very talented actress in Hollywood for many, many years. Mother got teased a little bit growing up because of her name. Mother went to Alabama College and got a degree in home economics. Started teaching home economics. I think that was very interesting, because you see, this home economics teacher, my mother, couldn't cook and she couldn't sew. My grandmother did all of the cooking and sewing in our house. But she got a job and up in New Market, Alabama, out of Alabama College, and was teaching up there when my father was assigned to the arsenal. He was in the MPs. He was a young officer in the Air Force. They met and fell in love and married and had me. Less than 4 years later, their marriage came to an end. We were out in Roswell, New Mexico, and Mother and I got on the train, rode across country to Springville, Alabama, moved in with my grandparents to stay long enough for her to get back on her feet. I don't guess she ever did, because we never moved out. And so I grew up with my granddaddy, my grandmother, my mother, and me. I was the only person in my high school graduating class whose parents were not together. Divorce was so unheard of in those days. So she did everything she could to be father and mother to me. She wanted me to be able to attend a very, very high level, expensive, wealthy camp for boys and girls called Camp Mike over on Chiaha Mountain. It's one of those kinds of camps that you used to could look in the back of magazines and they would be listed back there, and where you could go to Camp Sumatonga for $25 a week. It was $400 a week to go to Camp Mike. And she wanted me to be able to go. So when I was 12 and 13, she got a job as the dietitian at the camp so she could provide for me. She made sure that I had a background in Boy Scouting so I could get some male influence, and made it possible for me to make two trips to National Jamborees and to go to the Boy Scout Philmont branch out in New Mexico. She did so many other things for me, made so many other sacrifices when I was growing up. In high school, I was fortunate enough to win quite a few honors athletically and scholastically. I was a good football, basketball, and baseball player. I was valedictorian of my high school class. I got a full presidential scholarship to the University of Alabama. She was so proud of me. Took me two semesters, 1 year, to flunk out and lose the scholarship and go home in disgrace. She just loved me. Sure, she was disappointed, she was embarrassed, but she never showed it. She prayed for me. A few months later, when I was fired from my job, instead of berating me, she called a friend whose husband was the personnel officer at Loveman's department store downtown and helped me get a job as an extra during Christmas vacation that led later on to me getting a job in the buyer training department, and I became the assistant buyer of the men's clothing department there before I left to enter the ministry and developed a Cadillac taste in clothing and then went to a Volkswagen Budget. But that's another story. As I grew older, I was brought up in the church. And as I grew older, I turned further and further away. But she continued to love me and to pray for me. I remember many times coming home early in the morning from places I should not have been, in a condition I should not have been in. And I had to drive past her window in order to get around to the back where we parked the car. And she had a old-fashioned pull blind. The light would be on in the bedroom, and I could see the silhouette of my mother kneeling by the side of her bed, praying for her little boy. You can't imagine how happy she was the night her prodigal son came home, and how proud she was of me and for me and what God called me to do. I made my walk to Emmaus in June of 1990. Went to camp on Thursday night. Mother had a heart attack on Monday. Looked like I was going to have to cancel somehow. She rallied. Was well enough that I brought her home that Thursday afternoon and went to the Emmaus walk that night. On Sunday night after it was over, Brenda came and picked me up from camp, and we drove overnight to New Orleans. got on a plane to fly to Honduras the next day. I made 36 trips to Honduras. Brenda made one. It's the only trip she ever made. We were there 2 weeks. Came home on Saturday night, 2 weeks later. I preached on Sunday morning. I took 70 kids and 25 adults that afternoon to Noah's Ark in Panama City for a youth retreat. We rented two big old trailway buses to get down there. And I got a call on Wednesday morning telling me that Mother had gone home to be with Jesus. She hung on to give her son a chance to go to Emmaus and her daughter-in-law a chance to go to Honduras. And then she said, I'm ready, and she went. But of course, on this, the second Mother's Day, since Brenda went home, I've got to tell you about the most important woman in my life. We met on a blind date in July of 63, and then I broke two dates with her before we went out again. And 3 months later, exactly from our second date, I asked her to marry me, and 4 months later, we married. She worked as an X-ray tech to put me through college and seminary, went back to school for a bachelor's and a master's. The summer before Lynn's first birthday, I left home in May, saw Brenda on a portion of 11 days between then and the middle of September. I traveled over 20,000 miles doing evangelistic work that summer, and Brenda stayed home and was mom and dad to our little girl. Later on, I accepted an appointment as an approved evangelist in the conference and traveled full-time for several years. And once again, she had to be mom and dad. And the last year I traveled, I was away from home 42 weeks. But Brenda was so supportive of me and so supportive of my churches and the best preacher's wife you could have ever asked for. I'm so sorry she never got to be involved here at Grace Point, but some of you did get to meet her because we had a couple of planning meetings over at the house that some of you attended. And you know how beautiful she was and how strong she was and what a great woman she was. She loved our girls. She was so proud of them and always there for them and attended all of their band concerts and special occasions and things, and often had to do it alone because I was either away from home preaching somewhere or had to do something at the church. Brenda loved people. She was an introvert, but somehow she loved people, and that love just overflowed. And over the years, she actually wrote to hundreds of missionaries around the world, sending them cards and all kinds of things to support them and to encourage them. And so today, I just wanted to take a moment to pay tribute to Nanny Hayes and Elizabeth Newbold and Dorothy Holmes and Lynn Stone and Michelle Cash and Helen Cash and Brenda Cash. And I want to tell you that strong was their faith. And for Lynn and Michelle today, strong is their faith. They knew and know what Paul said when he wrote the words, I know in whom I have believed. and I am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him. As I look out at you, I know that every one of you are just like I am. You have in your heart and in your mind the list of those women, important women, who have changed and impacted your life. Some of them are with Jesus now. And one of these days, there's going to be a great homecoming. And all of the family and all of the friends are going to get together with Jesus. And if I can go back into the 60s and 70s, we're going to have a hootenanny up there. But some of those women that are important to you are still alive. They might even be sitting right next to you or somewhere in this facility this morning, or they might be scattered across the country or around the world. But I want you to just take a moment, and I want you to honor them. I want you to celebrate them. I want you to remember them. I want you to know who you are because of who they were and who they are. Many, many, many years ago, Bear Bryant did a commercial for South Central Bell. Some of you might even remember it. In that commercial, he said with emotion in his voice, and you know, when he spoke, he was gruff and kind of strong. But with a little emotion in his voice, he says, "Have you called your mother today? I wish I could call mine. Well, there are women that I wish I could call today. But there's one sitting right here. And there's another one over in Albertville, and we've already been in touch this morning. And so I challenge you to honor them. Call them. Tell them how important you are to them. For you see, a woman of noble character, who can find? Well, you found yours, and I found mine. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Would you stand for our closing hymn?